It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast here on a Wednesday. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, and we thought we would ask our texters here, our football insider subscribers, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page, to give us their Browns takes, some hot takes, kind of what they're thinking about the Browns, and we would just respond to them. And as usual, whenever we ask our texters things they came through, we're going to ask you again for something. We're going to do a Hey Mary Kay podcast tomorrow. So get those questions ready to go. Go to cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page, to get involved there. Let's start here. Clara in Iowa. She's thinking a little bit about Deshaun Watson and sort of in the context of what just happened with Russell Wilson. Of course, the Broncos made that huge trade. They gave Russell that big extension. And now 2 years in, they're just going to eat a bunch of dead money and move on from Russell Wilson. And of course, it sparked debate which trade was worse in that offseason. Whatever, we're not going to get into that. This is where Clara's going. Deshaun Watson has this season to prove to the team he can be the championship level quarterback that the Browns mortgaged their future to acquire. If the Browns don't see that level of play, there will be serious talk about moving on from Watson. Contract be damned. And then she says, see Russell Wilson. That's a spicy one, Mary Kay. I like that one to start us off. What do you think of Clara's thoughts about this being a make or break year for Deshaun Watson?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of the issue we tackled in our podcast yesterday, where we took a deep dive into whether or not this contract really matters anymore, or can they get out from underneath it? And I think we all agreed that in the event that they have to get out from underneath it, that they can do that. And I do think that they can. I don't think the sky would be falling. I think they could find another quarterback somewhere if they had to. I think they could recover from the lost draft picks and the money. It wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't be ideal. But I do think in some respects, this is somewhat of a make or break season for Deshaun Watson. Now, having said that, we must remember that Andrew Berry has stated unequivocally that he's looking at this as a 10-year plan. So they could always write this season off to, hey, he was coming back from a fractured shoulder and he didn't make it all the way back, or he tried to come back too soon. So there could be a world in which that becomes part of the narrative. But I do think this is certainly a very, very big season for Deshaun.
Yeah, I just, I could, like, you're right, Mary Kay, they could write that off as him coming back from this unprecedented injury. Man, that would be a tough pill for Browns fans to have to swallow after all these years. I mean, what do you think of Clara's thoughts there? And then maybe we can kind of get into what we actually need to see from Deshaun Watson this season, Ashley.
Yeah, I think I agree basically 100% with Mary Kay on this. I do think there is a world where, hey, yeah, Andrew's talked about this as like a 10-year plan. But I think just the reality is if you go in through year three of the first half of that plan and it's a disaster, and that's the worst case scenario, obviously, right? Like maybe there's no real precedent for this injury, but maybe he comes back and looks okay, he's progressing, he's continually getting better. But also maybe it's just a disaster. And I think at that point, yeah, you would look as the team to say, what can we do to get out of this? I don't know how long of a leash he has in terms of, hey, we're confident he's going to get this back, when at that point it will have been, doing the math in my head, 4 seasons basically since people have seen effective football from him. 2020 is getting further and further away. He's getting older. He has this injury that there's no real comp for. I think, yeah, at that point, it would be interesting to see what they're going to do. But I am also curious when we talk about the length of that leash, okay, would that injury then just become the ultimate crutch that they could lay everything on and say, hey, we think he'll be better in year 2 post this injury and more himself? And would they make that argument again? I could honestly see them going either way, but I do think it depends ultimately just how's he going to look once he's cleared to actually play after this.
Yeah, so I think they could make that argument. They absolutely could. I don't think Browns fans would hear that argument. I think they would, if we're doing this next season and we're still saying, hey, you know, finally we're going to get to see the real Deshaun Watson, I don't think Browns fans are going to really be willing to listen to that. But that being said, Mary Kay, if this is a make or break year of sorts, it's not just Deshaun, right? It's the Browns too. They have a vested interest for a lot of reasons in making this work with Deshaun Watson. Like, they need to do everything they can to make this work, which is part of why you wrote about 10 minutes before we hit record on this podcast that they should go trade for Mike Williams. Be aggressive. Go get him from the Chargers before he hits the market, if he does hit the market. And that's just part of this idea of you've got to do everything you can to make this work for Deshaun Watson.
Yes, there are so many reasons why I think it would make sense for the Cleveland Browns and for the Chargers to make this trade. First of all, the Chargers are getting ready to cut him so that they can save $20 million on their cap. They would still have $12.4 million in dead money on their cap, but they save a much needed $20 million. And sometimes you just have to take that hit. But if you can get a team to give you a draft pick, it offsets the cost of some of that dead money. It's almost, again, a little bit like buying a draft pick, an NBA style trade. I think it's a win-win situation for both clubs. Mike Williams is coming off of a torn ACL, but he tore the ACL in September of last year. So he should be ready for training camp. He should be ready for the season. As far as Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams are concerned, teammates at Clemson, they know each other like the back of their hand. They finish each other's football sentences. They combined for 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns in their last season together at Clemson, won a national championship together, and they were dynamite together in that title game over Alabama. Months after that, they both went on to become first-round picks in the 2017 draft. This makes so much sense. I think that it should happen before I leave for my Manatee tour in about a half an hour. I mean, it is just the right thing to do. And I cannot see a downside to this. I just can't. The more I thought about it, the more I was writing about it, it's perfect. It's the Amari Cooper trade 2.0. Why wouldn't the Chargers do this? They recoup the draft pick. Why wouldn't the Browns do this? All they have to do is turn around and re-sign Mike Williams to a contract that lowers his base salary for 2024, just like they did with Amari Cooper. Extend him, add some void years, cut him the restructure check. We know how this goes now. We've got this all figured out. So I think it would be great. I think it would give them another big body receiver. You want to be trying to cover David Njoku and Mike Williams in the red zone together or in the end zone together with Amari Cooper? Are you kidding me? I think it's exactly what Deshaun Watson needs. I think it would give him not only a formidable big weapon, but also someone he has chemistry with and a friend, a support system. It makes too much sense. I don't know what anybody's waiting for.
Also, Ashley, we can talk about we get to next year, we're in this spot, maybe the Browns would consider eating some money and moving on from Deshaun. But it's bigger than that. Like, they need to make this work, because if we are to that point next year, it means two things. One, you're back in the quarterback market and you got to go find a quarterback, which we know is not an easy thing to do. And two, you've essentially thrown away a whole other season. And we talk about this all the time. Like, this roster is not some super young, plucky roster anymore. This is a roster. It's not old, but these guys are in the primes of their careers. They're paid. They're getting expensive. That window, even for a talented roster, is only open so long. So again, there's that vested interest in, if this is a make or break year for Deshaun, both sides, like, Deshaun needs to make this work and the Browns need to make this work, not just for Deshaun's sake, but because you've got an opportunity here. So if you can go get a Mike Williams, who, like Amari Cooper, like David Njoku, can go up and get any pass Deshaun throws, I don't think there's a price. I mean, there probably is too high a price at some point, but I don't know that. I mean, what are you getting in this draft that's going to be better than exactly a healthy Mike Williams? I don't see it.
Yeah, 100%. First of all, absolutely, to Mary Kay's idea. And I know a couple weeks ago when I wrote my GM for the day post, what I would do if I was in Andrew Berry's shoes for a day. Like, I would trade my second round pick to get Mike Williams. And I don't even think the Browns would have to give up that much to go and get him based on what we saw with the Amari Cooper trade. So I think you 100% have to be so aggressive for that reason. You have to throw as many good, like, tested pass catchers at Deshaun as you can. And he's already got two good options in Amari Cooper and David Njoku. Mike Williams brings something a little different. He's 6'4". He's huge. Like we said, he can go up for those contested balls. They don't have anybody like that right now. Plus the familiarity with Deshaun. There's not a ton of those guys out there walking around. This kind of reminds me of the D-hop conversations we had last summer, because I do think that built-in chemistry and familiarity are just so important. But I do think, yeah, if you're the Browns, you have to give this guy everything he can to try and help him succeed when he is coming back from this injury that no one really knows what a quarterback looks like after they have this specific surgery and what kind of damage it can do long-term potentially. So I think all of that is great for both sides, and I'm 100% with you. When I wrote that column, I said, you're not going to get anything better in this draft than a tested veteran receiver. And I do think, look, Mike Williams is a guy whose name has kind of popped up, and it's gaining some steam now this week. And I think I wrote at that time, like, we don't know who exactly that guy might be yet, but it makes more and more sense the more you think about it, and just knowing the Chargers are getting ready to cut him. A win-win for both sides if you can get a trade done before he hits the open market.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a 10-year plan until it isn't. If they get to the end of next season and they still don't know what Deshaun is, then I agree with Clara here that I think this is a make or break year for Deshaun, and I agree with Mary Kay that because of that, the Browns need to do everything in their power to make it work with Deshaun Watson, and part of that includes going after a guy like Mike Williams. Okay, you could imagine we got a ton of Deshaun Watson ones. We're not going to do all of them, but this one comes from Kevin Loveland in Colorado. He says, the Browns got fleeced by the Texans, 3 first rounders and then some. They got Deshaun, they get Stroud, and a playoff victory. So it's a little hard to draw that line from Deshaun to Stroud because it wasn't one of the picks the Browns gave up. And if you go through the picks that the Browns gave up and how the Texans used them, it's not necessarily like a bunch of players that the Browns would want. They didn't exactly pick Pro Bowlers with all of those picks, but it did kind of give the Texans a chance to reset. And now they have CJ Stroud. They're building a talented roster. We saw them sneak into the playoffs and then, of course, just absolutely smoke the Browns in that playoff game. I guess, Mary Kay, at this point, it's hard to make the case that the Texans didn't win that trade. I mean, I don't think you can at this point. But is it going too far to say the Browns got fleeced, I guess, is what I would ask.
It's going too far, for sure, because the jury is still out on what is going to happen with this trade. If Deshaun Watson wins a Super Bowl for the Cleveland Browns over the next couple of years, then the Browns didn't lose the trade and they didn't get fleeced. So I definitely think it's too early to say that. You just don't know yet. I mean, what if the Texans don't win a Super Bowl over the next, and it doesn't even have to be the next 3 years of this trade. It could be in the next 6 years, the next 10 years. or 8 years, whatever. I just think it's too early. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. And if you do that, then you win the trade. And we're just not there yet. So people might not agree with me on that. You know, that might be setting the bar too long, too high, whatever. But I just think that that's why they made the trade. And if they accomplish it, then mission accomplished. Deed is done.
Yeah, and look, I don't think the Texans miss Deshaun Watson right now. I don't think they miss having him around. I think they're very happy with CJ Stroud. That's obviously worked out well for them. It's also, you know, I think CJ Stroud is going to be really good for a really long time. I think he's that guy. But the NFL is about stacking and about putting together really good seasons and about being, you know, doing it year after year after year. We have seen players have great rookie years and then it doesn't necessarily work out for them in the long term. I don't think that's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. I think there's no doubt in my mind that at this point, the Houston Texans have definitely won this trade. Deshaun Watson, outside of longevity, I mean, he's just been in the league longer, but he hasn't really, I mean, him and CJ Stroud have the same amount of playoff wins right now. So I think the Texans are perfectly happy with where they are. That being said, if the Browns can resuscitate Deshaun's career, which is a big if, I don't know if we're going to say that they got fleeced in this trade. It's just all about, it kind of goes back to that first question, make or break. We've got to see that Deshaun Watson that the Browns traded for. Or, you know, again, this time next year, we might be sitting here and saying, man, the Browns really didn't get anything out of that trade and they gave up a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a semantic difference for me right now in that I don't think the Texans, we can say they're winning the trade, right? Because it's not all said and done. And I do think, yeah, if the Browns go, Deshaun looks amazing, they make a playoff run, they win the Super Bowl next year, this conversation 100% changes. But it's like they may not be winning, but they're also just not losing. And it's kind of what you're describing, Dan, right? I think they are perfectly happy with their decision, but they had to do this anyway. I mean, he wasn't going to play there anymore. I think it would be easier to make the argument that, oh, they fleeced the Browns if one of those picks had led to the CJ Stroud selection. Like, if he was taken with one of those picks, I think it would be more clear cut in saying, yes, they're fleecing them right now. But I think because that wasn't a Browns pick, it's harder for me to say that. And I just think these conversations can change really quickly. But again, I do think, just like you hear people in sports talk about all the time, there's a difference between playing to win and playing not to lose. I think very similarly, the Texans just aren't losing right now. But I don't think you can call it a clear-cut fleecing of Cleveland with this trade.
Dan, who are the first-round picks, again, that they got from that trade? Because I agree wholeheartedly that
I don't have it. I don't have it in front of me, but I have looked before, and it's, you know, they took a guard with one, and they took now I think was Tank Dell or Nico Collins one of the guys they picked with one of those later. I don't know. I'd have to look, but they haven't directly used the Browns picks necessarily to build that roster. But, you know, I do think maybe the hotter take would be, would you rather have right now, would you rather have CJ Stroud or Deshaun Watson? That, now that would be, you know, if Kevin was saying, I'd rather have CJ Stroud than Deshaun, that would be an interesting discussion because CJ obviously is cheaper. He's on that rookie deal. He might, I mean, right now he's better than Deshaun Watson. We'll see again what Deshaun comes back as. It's still just all with Deshaun Watson. It's just all on paper right now. And we've got to see it actually happen on the field again. But I don't know if we're ever going to say the Browns won this trade, but they can at least break even. And that's just comes down to Deshaun being Deshaun.
Yeah. And with the CJ Stroud comparison, they would not have had access to CJ Stroud. They would not have been able to get their hands on CJ Stroud. So I'm not even sure that you can go down that road. You'd almost have to say, would they rather have a CJ Stroud, like someone like that. And I'm not sure where you would have gotten that player in the event that you did not make that trade for Deshaun Watson. It would be interesting to look at that and try to figure out who they could have ended up with somewhere along the line if they still had parted ways with Baker Mayfield at that point.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point too, because they would have had to have bottomed out to get a CJ Stroud or something. Mm-hmm. So, and that wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to go back to being a 2-15 football team again. They already did that. That was done. That wasn't going to happen again. So no, they weren't going to have access to a guy like that. You're right. And I think the other thing too, when we talk about getting fleeced, is if they would have been the only team that was trying to get Deshaun Watson, I think that would have made it look worse. But there were four teams in the running, and there were even more teams who were interested. So I think, you know, there's plenty of other NFL teams that would have given up a similar trade package. Maybe they wouldn't have guaranteed the contract like the Browns did, but they wouldn't have given up, but they would have given up the same. They would have made the same deal. So to me, that doesn't mean that when all is said and done, we won't look at this and say it's a bad trade. But to me, that at least tells me it wasn't completely insane.
And here are two other things to consider. Two things that a lot of people forget about along the way. When the Browns first made that trade for Deshaun Watson, they were absolutely convinced that he was only going to be suspended for about the first six games of the season. They never imagined at that point that he would be suspended for 11 games and that that first season was going to be a wash. That did not enter their minds. They firmly believed that he would be able to come back and still salvage the season because they would keep it going in his absence, stay in the hunt, and that he would come in and lead them to the promised land. So that's number one. And then number two, no one at all envisioned that his second season in a Cleveland Browns uniform would be completely marred and ruined by two separate shoulder injuries, one of which resulted in a season-ending surgery that no other NFL quarterback has had. So these are not two normal seasons. We're not talking about two seasons in which Deshaun Watson just went out there for 17 games and looked horrible. I mean, these were two completely truncated and marred seasons. So we don't know what he is yet. We don't know what he's capable of, and we don't 100% know how he will come back from this injury.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we've got another quarterback take. This is more of a question, but I liked it anyway. Another quarterback take on the other side. And welcome back to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, our football insiders, giving us their hot takes, their predictions, things like that. This comes from Mark in Silicon Valley. I don't know why he started it like this, but he says, "Holy hell. Tell me what the Browns quarterback room will look like when you all are reporting at the start of training camp." Again, I don't know why the start there, but Mark apparently has had enough. He's one of our regulars. Okay, so the Browns quarterback room at the start of training camp. We know one, a guy that we've spent the first half of this pod talking about, Deshaun Watson. We know another, right? Dorian Thompson-Robinson isn't going anywhere, but we don't exactly know where he fits on the 53, how they'll approach that. So I guess this is really a question, Mary Kay. Who's that third? Who's the backup? Is it DTR? Is it a veteran? What's that quarterback room look like when we arrive at the Greenbrier on who knows what day?
Probably July 20th. Good for them. Maybe not as great for us, but that's probably what it's going to be. I think that QB2 is probably going to be either Jacoby Brissett or Marcus Mariota. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think it'll probably be one of those two guys or someone in that neighborhood of salary, experience, skill set, and those kinds of things. The reason I say that is because even though we're hearing some reports now from Joe Flacco's agent that it is his first choice to play for the Cleveland Browns, I really have a hard time buying that. Joe Flacco did not come off the couch to go to the bench. He did not do that. He came off of the couch, showed people that he still has plenty of left in the tank. And at the age of turning 40 this year, or actually this will be his 39 year while he's playing. At the age of 39, he doesn't want to ride the bench. He still has something left to give. And I think that his first choice would be to go somewhere where he can compete for the starting job or have someone let him start outright. One of those teams that I believe have been interested or are interested, it's the Patriots, because Alex Van Pelt is there. They've got some personnel guys there that were around for for things that went on here in Cleveland that would translate to what they might want to do. And I just think that Joe has bigger ideas in mind than sitting behind Deshaun Watson. And also, I really do believe in my heart of hearts that even though the Browns are talking a really good game about having Joe Flacco be here as Deshaun Watson's backup, I just don't know that that would be good for anyone. I was telling you guys before we got on the pod, I remember when the Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel situation had Brian Hoyer so rattled that he couldn't function the way he did even weeks before. As the season went along, it just got to him more and more and more. And if Deshaun Watson is out there throwing a pick and getting booed at Cleveland Browns Stadium and you're hearing chants for Joe Flacco, that's just not going to be good for anyone. You don't need that from your QB2 when you can go out and get someone who can come in and do the job for you, and you're hoping that he won't even get on the field without all the rest of the drama. I just don't think it's a great idea. I told you guys, I can't take 10 steps around the city of Cleveland without people telling me how much they love Joe Flacco. Everywhere I go, airports, convenience stores, grocery stores, although my husband says I don't ever go to the grocery store, there at least is one grocery store that I do sometimes go to. I will not name names now. But anyways, I digress. Everywhere I go, everyone tells me how much they love Joe Flacco. I just don't think that that would be that good for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I'm a part of me is like, you just have to bring the best guy in, right? Like, you just have to have the best guy at that position. But man, this Flacco thing really is different. I mean, just look at Twitter the last couple days. Look at how excited people are about this idea of Joe Flacco coming back. People in Cleveland love the backup quarterback. And we've had situations where there have been rookies, you know, Johnny Manziel or, you know, Brady Quinn behind Derek Anderson. There's been situations here where there's been like rookies or certain players who are backups that fans are excited about. This is insane to me how excited people get. Like, they're acting like he won a Super Bowl here. Like that, this... They're acting like Ravens fans would be this excited if Joe Flacco came back. That's how much they loved him. I get it. I understand it. But I think it would be really, really hard to have Joe Flacco sitting on that bench in week 3. And Deshaun Watson is not playing like people want Deshaun Watson to play. And like Mary Kay said, we're at Cleveland Browns Stadium and you're getting Flacco chants. And it's just... And I think, honestly, even in the locker room, these guys are human beings. They were there last year when Joe Flacco was playing like he played. I think it would be tough in that locker room, too. I think this is different. And I think it would be really hard to deal with all of that if Deshaun doesn't play like he should play. So I'm a little torn. Part of me is like, bring the best guy back if he wants to be here. But another part of me, Ashley, is like, I don't know. I don't know if the Browns are equipped to handle that.
Yeah, like, that should be what happens in a vacuum, in a perfect world, right? But I don't think this team exists in a vacuum. I don't think it is a perfect world. And I, knowing this injury and what Deshaun has dealt with this injury last year, I don't think Deshaun Watson could handle that. I'll say it right now. Like, I do not think he could handle that kind of pressure in terms of if things are going south and fans are chanting for Flacco in the second quarter of a week 4 game. And I've talked about this before. I said, well, Andrew Berry shouldn't make decisions off of that. And I'm with you, Dan. I think in a perfect world, he shouldn't. But if you're really all in on Deshaun Watson, do you want to take that gamble? I don't know if you do, because I'm not 100% confident. This injury in itself is, I think, going to be a lot mentally. It would be a lot mentally for anyone to have to deal with. I don't know that you need to add that piece of it into it. So I do think right now, you know, Mary Kay threw out Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett. I would 100% be for them getting Jacoby Brissett back in here. We know those two are friends. We know how Jacoby fits into that role. He was, of course, our 2022 Good Guy Award winner from the Cleveland chapter of the PFWA. He was a great locker room guy, too, that guys loved. So I do think you would get some of that same Flacco energy. Now, again, I don't think anybody could replicate that. It was such a unique story. But I do think you could not have to sacrifice everything that Joe Flacco brought you if you bring Jacoby Brissett back. And it's a guy who's still familiar with Cleveland. So that's kind of my take and where I'm at.
Yeah, actually, and Jacoby's thinking back to that. Yeah, I mean, people loved Jacoby, but it still wasn't even to the level that they just fell in love with Joe Flacco. I don't know. This is just off the top of my head. I don't think I've ever seen a Browns backup quarterback capture this fan base like Joe did in those five games. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but I don't remember one that captured it to the level that he did. And so I don't know. It's interesting. Mariota, you know, a nice boring backup, a guy that's not going to threaten. I know it sounds weird to be like, you want to bring in a guy that's not going to be threatening to Deshaun Watson, but this goes back to the discussion we had earlier, Mary Kay. Like, this is make or break. You've got to make this work with Deshaun Watson. And this is part of that decision-making process. None of these guys are incredible. Like, none of them are going to move the needle that much. But again, we're talking about a backup quarterback, and all you need is a guy that can come in and run Kevin Stefanski's offense efficiently. And we know that Kevin is good at elevating, you know, some of these average, below average quarterbacks. We've seen him do it. I think there are players out there who are not Joe Flacco that could come in and do this job pretty effectively. Okay, here's one. This one is wild, from our buddy Mike Parker in Chester, Maryland. I think the Browns should target Josh Jacobs in free agency. Nick Chubb and Jacobs would give opposing defenses nightmares and would create opportunities for Deshaun Watson to exploit. Hey, it's a fun idea, but Ashley, I don't think the Browns are going to go out and invest quite that much in the running back position.
No, that's what I was just thinking about. It is a fun idea. I don't know if that's how they want their offense to look, however, if they need two running backs like that. Mainly because of, like, Andrew Berry even talking at the Combine last week, like, made this one, he kind of slipped it in there, but talking about how for their run game and developing it, because there's a ton of questions about the run game, right? I wrote about this the other day, too, in one of my little leftover combine thoughts, but it's this idea of how is this running back room going to function in the offseason? I think there's a lot of questions there, right? Because Nick is still rehabbing. He's not 100%. We don't know what's going on with Kareem Hunt, obviously. Deuce Staley is the new position coach there, so they have somebody new heading that room. I think there's a lot of questions about how do you do that, you know, especially when you're a new coach, when your top guy's not there. But Andrew's comment about the run game for them being so important with offensive line play, I do think the Browns really believe that. I think especially going through this last season without Nick Chubb, and no, the run game wasn't perfect, but I think they believe a lot of what they got done in that run game was due to how good their offensive line is. So I think that's kind of how they're operating, and we would not see them spend a ton of assets or money on another really good running back, quite honestly.
Yeah, he kind of said running backs don't matter unless it's like a special running back, you know, because it was sort of bookended by him twice saying like Nick Chubb is a special back and he, you know, the things he can do are different, essentially, is what he was saying. So, you know, again, Mary Kay, it would be fun. Just pile running backs into that room and let's go. Have Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs be your new Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner. But again, the focus here is just getting Nick Chubb healthy and getting him back to being somewhat close to what he was before the injury. Because I still believe even 75% of Nick Chubb is better than a lot of what you can find out there in the running back market.
We'll have to see how this one plays out. I understand the sentiment here because people are so used to a Nick Chubb caliber of back, and it just feels like the Browns have to have one of those kind of guys. But I don't really know that they do. I think that they believe that Jerome Ford will continue to develop and elevate his game with Deuce Staley here. Kareem Hunt, he's going to walk in free agency. They are not going to re-sign Kareem Hunt. But stranger things have happened than for Kareem to end up back here in some world, depending on what goes on with Nick Chubb. No one knows when Nick Chubb is going to be able to be the Nick Chubb or close to the Nick Chubb that we all remember. Will he be ready at the start of the season? Will he be ready in week 4? We don't know the answer to that, but I don't think that they are in a place where they're panicked about it or where they're worried about it. I think they feel like, once again, with this offensive line, that they can plug in a really good back and get the job done. And they can find one of those backs in the draft. They can find them later in free agency. I don't think they feel that they have to go out and spend a bunch of money on a guy like that.
Okay, one more here. This is just a suggestion. Speaking of running backs, and, you know, look, we remember Myles Garrett talking about the MVP award this year, how it goes to guys who score touchdowns. So Jeff Carso in Elyria wants to know, would the Browns ever consider using Myles Garrett in goal line situations? I, too, have wondered this. We've seen them do create. They love to use their backup centers, their backup guards. They love to, you know, I think there were a couple times when they had some plays in for Nick Harris, but it never quite developed and he never got the football. But I don't know, Mary Kay, how would you feel about seeing 95 rumble out there in a goal line situation, or is the risk just too much?
I wouldn't mind it at all. I like creative things like that. It also brings to mind for me Christian Wilkins, who I also think the Browns should try to sign in free agency. And I will be writing about that today or tomorrow. He actually caught a touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson at Clemson. So he's somebody that can do those kinds of things in a jumbo goal line formation. I'm all for that sort of thing. And I wouldn't mind trying Myles Garrett in that role. If you're going to run Deshaun Watson all over the place, I certainly wouldn't live in my fears about Myles Garrett getting hurt in that kind of a goal line catching situation. So I'd be all for it.
And look, J.J. Watt, he caught, I'm looking it up now, in 2014, he caught 3 touchdown passes. So, I mean, Ashley, Myles Garrett wants to be in that discussion with J.J. and Aaron Donald. Get out there and play a little big tight end.
I don't hate it at all. Like, as long as it's not just, like, totally a gimmick. I mean, you would have had to go through and practice it, obviously, do all that sort of stuff. But as we're talking, I'm just thinking about, obviously, the amazing blocked field goal he had against the Colts this year, where he jumped over the line. I do think that kind of play is kind of, you know, partially, we've talked about how did he ultimately win the Defensive Player of the Year award. Of course, that wasn't a defensive play. It was special teams play, technically. But those kind of things, that play in particular, I felt like kept him in the conversation, right? You make those kind of spectacular plays, you force people to pay attention to you. So why not? We've seen Miles pull off stuff like this before. I would be all for it if the situation's right.
I'm just thinking of all the guys that have done this before. One of my all-time favorites, Mike Vrabel, he caught a bunch of touchdown passes in his career, 10 touchdown passes in his career. I forgot it was that many in the regular season. So come on, let's do this. I'm all for it. Great suggestion here to wrap up our hot take podcast. All of those came from our Football Insider subscribers, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get involved in that. You can also find us on Instagram at Orange Brown Talk. Find us on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. We've got to let Mary Kay go look at manatees. So we're going to do that for Mary Kay and Ashley. I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.